packed house, and additional seats were brought in today. We appreciate each one who's come. The visitors have to welcome you. Appreciate you being with us, and may God bless you and safe travels. Stand up for Jesus for us all. Where would we be without Jesus? Have you ever had an emergency where you needed immediate help? If you had to call 911, I had to do that. And you're thankful for the help that came. Things might have been different if you didn't have the help that you needed when you needed it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16. I want to thank God every day for sending Jesus, who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Appreciate the good reading from Ephesians chapter 6. You may have come across that word stand several times. It's a good thing to do to call attention to Bible words like that. You might circle or highlight in Ephesians 6. And Paul talked about standing. That reading introduces the theme of our study today, when they said in verse 13, and having done all, to stand. The Bible puts a lot of emphasis on standing. In fact, we're warned about standing. Remember, when Paul wrote the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10, he said in verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth, what's the rest of that? Take heed lest he fall. I need to be mindful of my standing. Let me suggest to you from the scriptures some things the Bible has to say about our standing. I begin from my reading in Ephesians 6, where the Bible talks about standing against. As you make your study with reference to having done all the same, we need to stand against some things. Like in verse 13, when he said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Why take the whole armor of God? That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Then back in verse 11, he said, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against. Stand against what? The wiles of the devil. And so when you stand, you have to stand against the devil. The word wild suggests his schemes. He's crafty. He's been crafty from the beginning. When God said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The devil said, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. The woman being deceived was in the transgression. She saw a good for food tree to be eaten. It was pleasant to the eyes to make one wise. And so she took and she ate. She gave to her husband Adam, and he ate. Through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, 1 John 2:16, the devil is a great schemer. We must not be ignorant of his devices, lest Satan should get advantage of us. So, having done all to stand against the wiles of the devil. In addition to that, the Bible often talks about standing still. Like in the book of Exodus 14, when it came to the Red Sea crossing, the children of Israel thought that there was no way out. They had been liberated from Egypt. And Pharaoh with his armies pursuing, and they came to the Red Sea. They didn't see any way out of that situation. And as you recall the story in Exodus 14, as the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, Moses said to the people in verse 13, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more, forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Because they stood still, they saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Exodus 14 and verse 30. another occasion where folks were told, stand still. It's in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, when men defiled by the dead body of a man asked about Passover keeping. And Moses said unto them, it's recorded in Numbers 9 and verse 8, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. When it comes to hearing the Lord's commands, we need to stand still and ask, what's the Lord have to say about that? In the book of Joshua, when the Lord's people were crossing the Jordan to take possession of the promised land, the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant were commanded in Joshua 3 and verse 8, when you come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. If you'd been those ark-bearing priests, would you have stood still? 1 Samuel chapter 12, we have a great speech from one of Israel's great leaders, Samuel, who at this time said, I am old and gray-headed. And in his speech he said in verse 7, now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. I need to stand still in the sense of hearing and being reasoned with concerning the Lord's righteous acts. Again in verse 16 he said, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Another standing still scene is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When Moab and Ammon and others came against Jehoshaphat, verse 1 says they came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And verse 3 finds Jehoshaphat feared and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together. For what purpose? To ask help of the Lord, verse 4. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Beginning in verse 5, you find where Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem. He's praying to the Lord for help. Verse 14 reveals where the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the congregation. God answers prayers. He said, hearken ye all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. Ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Cherith. Now, this is verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. That means going to war, going to battle. But you don't have any need to fight. Remember, why? The battle is not yours, but God's. If God be for us, who can be against us, right? Then he said, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So when you think about the appeal to stand, how about from time to time standing still? Next. The Bible also talks about the importance of standing with. The Lord recognized down through the ages that his people needed folks who would stand with them. When the census was taken, in the book of Numbers, chapter 1, and verse 5, Moses was told, these are the names of the men that shall stand with you. What a comfort that must have been to this leader, as he was given a list of all kinds of names when the son was taken, and names of those from 20 years old and up able to go forth to war. These are the men who will stand with you. And then again in Numbers 11, in verse 16, the concern was about bearing the people along. He said, I'm not able to bear all this people. Remember that? Numbers 11:14, it's too heavy for me. And the Lord said in verse 16, Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. What a great provision made for Moses, who led the Lord's people. 70 men to stand with him. He said in verse 17, they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear not thyself alone. You know, as God's people, we should never have to stand alone. We should never have to bear anything alone. We ought to have people who stand with us. And may it ever be said of you that you stand with those who stand with the Lord, and of me as well. You know, Paul in 2 Timothy 4 talks about Alexander the coppersmith, didn't he? Not anything good said about that. Paul said he did him much evil. And he let the Lord take care of that, right? He said, reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me. Put yourself in the shoes of Paul. No man stood with you. Standing alone. He said, all men forsook. I pray God that may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, he said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fruited on, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of lions. I wonder if you and I had been there, if it would have been said, no man stood with me, or if we would have stood with Paul. Do you stand with those who stand with the Lord? Do you stand with elders? Elders need to know that the members stand with them. Do you stand with our elders? You need to stand with our elders. They're good men. They're qualified men. They're Holy Spirit made men. Acts 20:28, when Paul met with the Ephesian elders, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. How do you do that? When men meet the qualifications revealed by the Holy Spirit in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, and they're appointed to the office. And that's a serious responsibility to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. We need to stand with the elders when they make decisions that are in keeping with the will of God for our spiritual benefit. They watch for our souls. Let these men know that you stand with them. When they stand for truth and stand for right. And we need to stand with those who preach the truth, who, like Paul, dedicated himself to preaching the gospel. Like what he said to the Romans in Romans 1:15 beginning, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He was not ashamed of stand and preach the truth. And I would like to think that if we'd been living at that time, that we would have stood with him. That we would have held up his hands. Gospel preachers need folks who stand with them. They're not ashamed of the gospel, and yet there are those who seem to be ashamed of them when they take a stand for what the Bible teaches. And stand with your brethren. Sometimes difficulties come along, and stand has to be taken for what's right, and let them know that you stand with them. I stand with you. We're one. What affects you affects me. We're in this together. We need folks who recognize the importance of standing with one another. We should never have to stand alone. And should you find yourself like Paul, where no man stands with you, don't forget the fact that you're not really alone. That as he said, the Lord stood with me. And that's what counts. But again, as I think about having done all to stand, and not the need to stand up from time to time. In the book of Nehemiah 8, it's a beautiful scene when the people gather themselves together. They came to hear the word of the Lord. They spake unto Ezra the scribe, and bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. He brought the book, and he read therein. Verse 3, from the morning until midday, for a good period of time. It's been estimated maybe 6 hours. Then the law book was brought and read before the people, a public reading of the law, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. You know what happened when they read in the book? The Bible says in the latter part of verse 5, when they opened it, what happened? All the people stood up. They stood up for the law book. That's God's book. And there's other occasions when people stand out of respect. It was customary to do that at a sporting event when I was being brought up, out of respect for the flag, when the national anthem was being sung or played, and you'd stand up. I was taught in grade school from my teachers that you put your hand on your chest and you stand, and you look at the flag out of respect for folks who died so that we could have the freedoms that we have. And I appreciate that idea of standing out of respect. We do that at weddings. I know when I was married a few years ago, it's not been that long ago. Just 25 years ago. And when my beautiful bride ran the aisle, everybody stood out of respect. They used to do that. I guess they still do. Yep, do that. It's a beautiful thing. They stand out of respect. Should we show any less respect for the book, God's book? They stood up when it was read. Do we have that kind of respect and reverence for what the Bible says, for what God has to say? That we stand up, and not just from a physical standpoint, but to think about taking our stand, to stand up for what the Bible teaches, to stand up for the fact that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days, Exodus 20 talks about. God said it was done. We need to stand up for the creation account. Through faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, Hebrews 11. Stand up for the home and the family. That's the oldest institution known to man. Genesis 2, God saw it's not good that man should be alone. Provided for his need of companionship and making a woman. Stand up for what the Bible teaches about that relationship. One woman for one man for one lifetime. No provision for divorce, except it be for fornication. Matthew 19:9. A lifelong arrangement. The woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. Romans 7:2-3. Stand up for what the Bible teaches about the church. Planned by God, Ephesians 3:10-11, built by Christ, Matthew 16:18. One body, Ephesians 4:4. Christ is the Savior of it, Ephesians 5:23. Need to take our stand for God's book when they stood up. Another occasion when folks stood up is in Nehemiah 9, when in verse 3 they stood up to read. We shake the one who stood up this morning to read the Lord's word for us. They stood up and read in the book of the law of the Lord, and the Bible also says that in Nehemiah 9 and verse 5, they stood up to bless the Lord. They said, stand up and bless the Lord, your God forever. And blessed be thy glorious name. You know, there's nothing wrong with appealing to the congregation from time to time to stand up. Right? And we hear that sometimes. Everybody stand. Let's all stand and sing. Or let's stand and pray. And folks, and I think I just sit here. Now you have to decide. Maybe not able to stand. I'm not talking about that. If we're not careful, we can develop a bad attitude about all of that. And there's nothing wrong with, like they did, in appealing to the Lord's people, stand up and bless the Lord. Let's stand up and sing. Let's stand up and thank the Lord. They did that. Nehemiah 9. standing up to preach and to teach. Acts 2. When Peter was reported as having stood up. Remember that, Acts 2:14? Peter standing up with the 11, lifting up his voice. If you'd been Peter, would you have stood up and lifted up your voice? He lifted up his voice against the false suppositions of men. They thought these people were drunk. They didn't realize that God's promise was being received by the apostles. Right? They were told, tarry in Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. You should be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days hence. And they said, these men are drunk. Peter said, not so. These are not drunk as he supposed. He stood up and lifted up his voice about that. You see, the Lord's people have long been misrepresented and slanderously reported, like Paul, Romans 3. And they lifted up their voice. They stood up about that. And Peter preached Jesus. He preached the need for repentance and remission of sins in the name of Christ. Acts 2:38. About Acts 5 again, when the apostles faced opposition for preaching, they had hands laid on them. Not in a good way. They were put in the common prison. Verse 18. The angel opened the prison doors, and they were told, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Have done. When they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and talked. And the authorities couldn't find them. They're looking for them. And it was reported in verse 25, and came one and told them, saying, oh, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Standing and teaching. We need to stand up in that way so as to teach and to preach the word of the Lord. Acts 13 is another example, verse 16, when Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand. That's a gesture, by the way. You say, you ought not be doing that. Put your hands in your pockets. Like when you say, come unto me, you try to use a gesture, they say, you ought not do that. They're critical of hand-gesturing preachers. Now, Paul did it. He beckoned with his hand. Men of Israel, neither fear God, give audience. He stood up as he did that. And so we need to stand up. Right? How about another standing? Are you standing in? There's some places we need to stand in. Back in the book of Judges, at a time when every man did that which was right in his own eyes, as the children of Israel faced oppression from foreign people, and one of the adversaries was, as they were delivered into the hand of Midian, Judges 6. And the hand of Midian rebelled against Israel. They were greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. They left no sustenance. It'd be hard to survive with no sustenance, wouldn't it? When the going gets tough, think about no sustenance. That was the situation in the days of Gideon, who the Lord raised up to bring deliverance to his people from the Midianites. And the reason that the Lord's people were victorious and so successful in defeating the Midianites is in Judges 7 and in verse 21. The Bible says they stood every man where? In his place. They stood in his place. It's a good statement. I need to stand in my place. I've got to know what my place is before I can do that. As a man, I need to stand in my place. As a father, I need to stand in my place. As a husband, I need to stand in my place. How about you as a wife, as a mother, as a woman? What's your place? Find out what that is as you read the book and stand in. Stand in your place as a child, as a gospel preacher, as an elder, as a deacon, as their wives, as a member of the church. I need to find my place, get in that place, and stand in it. Also in the book of Jeremiah, when you think about standing in, how about standing in the old ways? People today have gotten away from that. They talk about a new normal. What's wrong with the old normal? Jeremiah Jeremiah 6:16, people wanting something new, something different. Here's the appeal. Thus saith the Lord, stand. That's our word today. Stand where? In the ways and see and ask for the old paths. They didn't need a new way. They didn't need a new path. Just need to stand in the old. He said, walk there and you shall find rest for your soul. What did they say? We will not walk there. We're not going to do it. How sad. One of the saddest words in this book is when they said, in essence, they're telling God, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to walk there. Stand in the old paths. Got people today that are ashamed of the old paths. They want a new cart, right? Like when they tried to move the Ark of the Covenant, they said on a new cart. We need a new way. We need new methods. We need a new kind of preaching. We need new organization. We need a new name. We need some new things of the Lord's Supper. We need new. Some brethren, I'm afraid, have become like those in Athens who, as Acts 17:21 says, all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. That's what they're about. They want to hear something new. They want to say something new instead of standing in the old. Another standing in place. How about standing in the Lord's house and speaking the Lord's word? Jeremiah 7, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. He said, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, what do you want him to say in the Lord's house? Hear the word of the Lord. All ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. That'd be like you or me. If you're, I'd been Jeremiah, standing at the door. Said, hear the word of the Lord. As you come in these doors to worship the Lord, thus saith the Lord of hosts. What do you want them to know? Amend your ways and your doings. Read on there. And Jeremiah said, we need folks today who, like Jeremiah, with the word as a fire in their heart, are not timid in standing in the Lord's house and proclaiming the Lord's word. Jeremiah 26, verse 2, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, listen, diminish not a word. I like that. We need folks today who will stand in the Lord's house and speak the Lord's word without diminishing a word. That is, they don't take anything away from it. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, not to take away from the word. Another place in Deuteronomy 4, too. That's being done. Words are being diminished. They're being left out. It's not a problem of what's said, but what's not being said in so many places. Other things being diminished. Would you stand in the Lord's house and speak? I tell you another place where we need standing in. Standing in the gap. You fill gaps lately? You get your house ready before winter? Maybe you got some gaps that need to be filled. Keep the cold air from infiltrating, right? Sometimes there are gaps that need to be filled spiritually. In the book of Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, here's what the Lord said, I sought for a man among them. What kind of man are you seeking for, Lord? That should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. But I should not destroy it. If I could find a man that would stand in the gap, I would not destroy the land. But the Lord said, I found none. I found none. Those are sad words, aren't they? I found none. Looking for a man to fill the gap, to stand in the gap, I couldn't find one. I hope that he couldn't say that to us today. Looking for a man to stand in the gap, I couldn't find one. Are there gaps that need to be filled? We need men among us, and I believe we have a lot of them, who are gap standing in men, who when they see a gap, they stand in. Maybe there's a gap on the schedule. Maybe somebody sick could be here. Need somebody to lead a song, I stand in the song leading gap. I'll do that. I'll be glad to stand in and sing and lead a song. Or lead a prayer. Or make announcements. Or help at the Lord's Supper table. Whatever needs to be done. If there's ever a gap that needs to be filled, I'll have you to stand in it. You need men like that. But Jason Nolan, who makes up the schedule, it's not easy to do. He does a wonderful job with it. And we ought to thank him for. He didn't get enough appreciation for that. Not that he said that, I say that. Because I'm sure he does. No matter if he got a lot of it, it wouldn't be enough. I mean, appreciation needs to be overflowing, abounding in because of that. You think about trying to get men to lead songs and do this and that for every service, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday night. And just let him know. I tell you what, you ever got a gap somewhere, I'll stand in it. Let him just call on him. Tell him that. Let him know that that's your desire. Some of you already have. And that'll help him, make it easier for him. But stand in the gap. Maybe the Lord's Supper is prepared. We have women here that make the bread. You do a great job. We appreciate you for doing that. They don't get enough recognition either. You need to thank the women for their time and sacrifice. A lot of places don't do that anymore. Maybe they don't have anybody to do it. Don't want to do it. For whatever reason. We've got women, they make the bread. They're careful to make sure that it's unleavened bread and it's done scripturally. And Jamie's been doing a wonderful job as of late, taking care of the bread. Appreciate your work. He's on it this month. And sometimes maybe somebody can't come, they can't make it, he's sick. That circumstances happen. Would you stand in the gap? I'll take care of it. Let me learn how to do that. Help me to stand in the gap. Have some bread. In fact, I've already had some made up. It's in the freezer. It's ready. I just need to get it out ready. Just in case somebody had a flat tire. Look. Right? And the rains come and can't cross the river. Don't have to worry about that right now. But circumstances change. Right? The river's up, creek's out, and we got bread filling gap. Gap filling bread. Because somebody's standing in. But think about places where you can stand in the gap. Lots of gaps sometimes that need to be stood in. Can we count on you? We need to stand in God's grace. Romans 5:2 talks about standing in this grace as well as 1 Peter 5:12. Talked about standing in the gospel. Are we standing in the gap? Standing in the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2, and he said, by which you're saved, that is the gospel which I preached unto you. Wherein you stand. He was writing us, could you say we're standing in the gospel? I believe he could. I hope that he could. Standing in. I'll tell you another area, though, when you think about it, having done all to stand. How about standing fast? That's one of the admonitions given in 1 Corinthians 16:13. When Paul said, once ye stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. That is, to be men, act like men, who stand fast in the faith. He didn't just say stand in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. When the Galatians were being influenced by Judaizing teachers to revert to an Old Testament law keeping, Paul talked about the bond woman and her son, and how they're children of the free woman, and said, stand fast, therefore the liberty with which Christ has made us free. Galatians 5:1. Writing the church of Philippi in Philippians 1:27, Paul said, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. You stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's standing fast for unity, for oneness. You've got to do that. Can't let anybody do anything divide us. Can't let anybody or anything disrupt us or disturb us. We got to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Stand fast. Philippians 4:1, he said, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You will not leave the Lord. You'll not let that happen. You'll not depart from him if you stand fast in the Lord. Got to do that. Another stand fast admonition. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. He said, now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, you've got to stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or out. There's lots of traditions. Not the traditions of men, the apostles' traditions. Like the first day of the week, communion and laying by in store, singing and making melody in your heart. Those kind of traditions. We got to stand fast and hold. Then finally, having done all to stand, have you thought about the fact that there's coming a day when we'll stand before the Lord? In Romans 14:10, when brethren were setting at not one another, they were despising their brethren, they were judging one another, they forgot the fact that God is the judge. They were God-playing. In Romans 14:10, Paul said, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be a great occasion. There's a great day coming, we say. Right? We all stand before. That's everybody. However many people have ever lived or ever will live, all will stand before. Somebody took issue with me several years ago when I talked about standing before the judge. They said, we're not going to be standing. We're going to be all down. Nothing said about standing. Romans 14:10 says we shall all stand before the judgment seat. In Revelation 20 and verse 12, John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's what I mean when I talk about standing before the judgment. We're going to stand before the judgment in the sense that Paul said we would, and John said he saw people do. Stand before God, and the books were open. That shows that we're accountable to God. We have responsibility to it. And he said the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So there's coming a day of standing before the Lord. Are you ready for the judgment? Are you? All shall stand before. So when you think about these words, when Paul said, having done all to stand, I'm still about it. Standing again, standing still, standing with, standing up, standing in, standing fast, and standing before. Did you know the Lord stands at the door? Revelation 3, verse 20. He said, I stand at the door and knock. You heard the knock at the door? Be a man, hear my voice, and open the door. The knob, the door knob's on the inside. We have to open the door. We have to run him in. We do that through hearing his word, by believing with all of our heart, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Christ, putting him on in baptism. And being faithful unto death. And would we have the courage to stand like we've talked about and we've seen others do? How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They stood in as servants of God, and everybody bowed. They'd rather face the fire than compromise their faith. They did not yield their body. They sacrificed themselves. They stood. They stood. And thus they quenched the power of the violence of fire through faith. They stood by faith. How about Stephen, Acts 7? He stood in. He stood against his accusers. He stood for the Lord. It's one. Maybe the only time you read in the Word of the Lord, the Lord has said to be standing at the right hand of the Father. Standing. Here's a man by the name of Stephen who stood up for Jesus, and Jesus stood for him. That's standing. And may God help us to do that as Christians. If we've not been standing up for Jesus, standing in our proper place, we've not been doing all to stand, and we've stumbled, we've fallen, we need to get back up. Through repentance, confession, and prayer. We bid you come, always stand and sing the song.